Coming up on podcast 1325, North Volt, Europeans' first gigafactory, sparks into life. I'll tell you why it's great news for EVs. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, big news for how many reservations the ID4 has got. New chips going inside Tesla's infotainment, which makes it more snappy. And loads more BMW jobs to make EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 30th of December. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story, so you know why. You don't have to. It's my job to filter out the noise and just bring you 20 minutes or so, if I'm being disciplined, I'm often waffling on more, of the EV news you need to know about. We'll start off with this huge bit of news, headline news today. Sweden's Northvolt saying today their new gigafactory in northern Sweden has assembled its very first lithium-ion battery cell. That makes it the first European company to design and manufacture a battery over here, according to Reuters. They're going to make prismatic cells. Well, these first ones are prismatic cells. Think of them like bricks or big VHS tapes. That's not really, but you know, otherwise you're talking pouch cells, which is like a little baggie, or cylindrical cells, like a big AA battery. So for newcomers of the podcast, I always try and describe these things so you can paint a picture in your mind. And it came off the assembly line on Tuesday. Northvolt CEO Peter Carlson telling Reuters the new factory would produce a battery this year. Even if it meant the first battery was made on New Year's Eve, well, it almost was, and let's face it, they're not churning out, you know, megawatt hours of batteries here. This is a cell. It's been made in the factory. It's great news. The company aiming for the plant to achieve production of 60 gigawatt hours as it aims for about 25% of the market share over here in Europe. Well, Tesla are due to launch their very first factory just outside of Berlin, and Asian rivals have been significantly upping their operations in places like Poland and Hungary. But thus far, no European firm had operated a significant facility until now, according to Euronews.com. The new factory, dubbed Northvolt 1, or Northvolt 1 in Swedish, already employs 500 people, 3,500 people once it reaches full capacity. The Swedish company, which has raised billions of euros, founded in 2016 by Peter Carlson and the Italian Paolo Cerruti, both former Tesla employees. Now, it's 200 kilometers from the Arctic Circle. They chose that location because of its importance of being near the renewable energy production in northern Sweden, like hydropower, so that they can really get down the lifetime embedded CO2 emissions to make an electric vehicle. The car companies are doing this as well. Huge amounts of work going into the supply chain, even how the steel will be made as well. That is, you know, a huge source of emissions at the moment. But hey, all of the OEMs, the suppliers, huge amounts of work are going into ensuring that along every bit of the supply chain, when someone says, well, yeah, but how green is an electric car just because there's no emissions at the tailpipe? You know, aren't the batteries very dirty? Isn't your home electricity all powered by coal anyway? Well, no, not really. Oh, quick aside, don't tend to do too much renewable energy news, but I did see an article this week, and the UK had broken its renewable energy production recently as well, about 60% coming from wind, or even specifically maybe offshore wind as well. Well, not surprised, very gusty. It's our winter. But it's so good to know that the grid is getting greener. Therefore, every mile you drive is getting greener. And you can't say that about petrol at the pump. Let's talk about the Volkswagen ID4. Here's a really important vehicle to Volkswagen, to many listeners of this podcast that want to buy a family car like the ID4. Reservations exceeding 40,000 now in the US. Volkswagen of America, specifically, announcing that the ID4 is among the fastest selling VW vehicles in the US. 9 out of 10 buyers identifying themselves as first time electric vehicle buyers. And I'm not surprised, actually. The number of gross reservations since it went sort of on sale in March earlier this year has increased to more than 40,000 of them. They've got 15,000 of them in customers' hands, driveways, garages so far, so still a big job to do. Still 25,000 or so ID4 buyers waiting for Volkswagen to ramp up either imports from Europe or local production. Of course, the ID4 will be made at the Chattanooga facility as well, and that's when the cheaper versions will be available in the market, and Volkswagen of America can start to bring the price down as well. Not that it's horrendously expensive at the moment. The good news is, next year, the localized production will begin in that Tennessee plant. Battery cells will be supplied by the South Korean company SK Innovation. Well, their battery company was spun off recently. It's called SK On. Their new battery plant is being built in Commerce in Georgia. So, cells made in the US. And again, if the Build Back Better Act goes through, and it's looking very unlikely because there is that, hey, and I'm not an expert on American politics, but there is that conservative Democrat, Joe Manchin, who is going to oppose it, which is a real shame because it does deny good, honest, hardworking, middle-class Americans subsidies, incentives to buy an EV, especially if those battery cells are made on US soil as well. Another $500 off your car. It seems a shame to me, from my outside perspective, that one multimillionaire politician who's made his fortune being paid by coal and fossil companies can have so much sway over really the direction of an entire country and tens, hundreds of millions of people that could get some real help. But hey, hope he sleeps well at night. Next, we'll talk about the Lucid Air. And I found an article about the Lucid Air on the Detroit Free Press. And it's an amazing review. It's one of the most in-depth reviews I've read. Not so much just going into the nerdy aspects, but just a really good piece of writing. And hey, it's that time of year when people are off work. Maybe you got some free time. Haha, what's free time? Yeah. But, you know, if you have, I will put the long read link in the show notes. By the middle of next year, the writer says that the Lucid Air could be the best car in the world. Not the best EV in the world. The Lucid Air could be the best car in the world. After driving the new Lucid Air in Silicon Valley and around the tech center, I'm convinced, he says, that this fast, elegant, and advanced car, like the iPhone, is one of those rare products that won't just succeed. It can change an industry, inspiring customers to demand more, forcing companies to do better. They say that they can't dismiss Lucid's early production software glitches. Their prime directive is to produce vehicles that, you know, open the doors and drive off when you put your foot on the accelerator. But no matter how marvelous its other capacities, you still want a telephone to, you know, make an audio call. 5 years from now, though, the Detroit Free Press saying nobody on earth will remember the glitchy door handle that they experienced in the early pre-production vehicles, and instead will celebrate the Lucid Air. Clearly a huge fan here. And I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes so you can read more. Now, Europe's best-selling electric vehicle for 2021. What a year we've had. I won't be sad to say goodbye to 2021 for many reasons. I'm sure you are the same as well. Hopefully we can go onwards and upwards into 2022. I like looking forward more than I do looking back, to be honest with you. That's why I've done the retrospectives on this podcast in a really long time. The New Year's show, by the way, which you can find in a couple of days' time, will be some of the predictions for next year and some of the best cars to look out for next year. I'd like to look forward, but still, looking back quickly. The Model 3 from Tesla has only been in Europe for a couple of years, and it's an instant hit. This year, it will be the biggest selling electric vehicle here in Europe. It'll beat cars like the ID3, ID4, Renault Zoe, all on sale up against the Tesla Model 3. And you can see why they want to get that Berlin Gigafactory open as soon as possible. There's a real desire to buy those cars here, and especially, you know, look, we have an import tax of 10% on Teslas on top of VAT. So take the price that you would pay, add 20% VAT, add another 10% to that new total. And that's why it's a really expensive car here. Not that it's a cheap car in America, don't get me wrong, but it's a real treat to own a Tesla over here because they're so damned expensive. Used ones are holding their prices as well. That's why the Gigafactory needs to be open so they can make the cars closer to where they're selling them. However, this year, it looks like they'll be raising a glass at Tesla headquarters in Texas these days, to saying, thank you very much, Europe, you've made us number one there. According to the Automotive News website, Tesla is the best-selling EV brand as well, though Volkswagen will be the best-selling EV company by virtue of the fact that it's got Audis, Skodas, Porsches, Cupras, etc. Sales of the Model 3 jumped 84% to the end of November, according to the JTO Dynamics market research numbers. We think December's numbers are going to be good enough to make the Tesla Model 3 the best-selling electric vehicle in all of Europe. ID3 from Volkswagen will be number two, we think. And then the Renault Zoe, the best-selling EV in Europe up till 2020, will be in third place. Sales of that down for the new model, actually, which is interesting. I've got the last one, the ZE40, without the CCS charging, and I absolutely adore that car. But that will be a storyline for the next couple of days as well, because myself and Mrs. Lee have made a decision. And it's time for the next person to enjoy that Renault Zoe, because we're going to have a new EV adventure. I'll tell you all about it in a couple of days' time. That's not a story for now. Right, stick around. Coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll talk about the Audi RS Q e-tron going rallying and how many jobs BMW are creating to make EVs. Want to work there? Maybe you can. Stick around. I'll tell you more. Now, next on the podcast, we are going to talk about how the upgrade to Tesla's new Model 3 and Model Y is rolling out. The new chip, the new computer chip inside the MCU, it's called. So it's what you interact with. It's not what makes full self-driving and stuff work, but it's what you interact with. It's what you want to be zippy and snappy and fast, and this makes it even better. It's a Ryzen chip. The information comes via the Twitter account Tesla Scope, putting an image online of the info screen. So in a Tesla, you can tap info and you can see all of the, you know, a bit like, I guess, right-clicking in Windows or, you know, system preferences in a Mac or about this Mac at the top, and you can, you know, see what the specs of the computer are. You can do that in a Tesla, and it now shows that rather than the old, rather lazy Intel Atom chip, these new cars are coming with a brand new Ryzen CPU. It handles the infotainment duties, things like the responsiveness, the menus, the games, loading apps, YouTube, Netflix, etc., etc. First Model 3 and Y with MCU 3 with the AMD Ryzen chip was being delivered in North America. Again, no big announcement from Tesla. People just find these things. It's why people love the company, because they just start making the cars better. One other notable change, says the website tomshardware.com, along with the Ryzen chip, is the new lithium-ion 12-volt battery. It replaces the old lead-acid batteries found in pretty much every car in all of the planet. The lithium-ion battery, which is shared with the new Model S and Model X, is now going into the Model 3 and the Model Y. It weighs 4 pounds, not 27 pounds, like a lead-acid battery. Teslas seem to chew through their 12-volt batteries as well. And what is it on the Zoe? I think that's like a three-year 12-volt battery. But look, it's one of those things that EVs generally, maybe I'm being general here, EVs can suffer a bit with the 12-volt if they're not looked after. Or anyway, Teslas seem to suffer more than most. I know loads of people that are regularly replacing the 12-volt. That will no longer be an issue, because the lithium-ion battery, which takes the role of the 12-volt battery, is designed for the lifetime of the vehicle rather than using the 350-volt traction battery for all those things. Why do you sit on top of a massive battery, and yet cars still had to have until now, well, Tesla's all cars really, these very, very heavy lead-acid batteries? Well, all the bits that make your car work, like the heated seats and the electric seats and, well, the electric door mirrors and anything really, all runs on 12-volt. That's because the entire supply chain industry is geared towards 12-volt. That's not saying you can't get 24, 48-volt stuff out there. It'd be better if they were, because you can reduce the size of the cabling, etc. But still, that's why there's this antiquated bit of these very high-tech cars, because that's what you go and get out of the catalogue 9 times out of 10. Right, let's talk about another good bit of news for Tesla. On track to meet their employment goal and their Buffalo factory, the lesser-known Gigafactory, Giga New York, Giga Buffalo, which never gets talked about. They were going to get hit with a $41 million fine, a penalty, if they didn't employ enough people, but they are now employing enough people. 1,536 full-time jobs now at South Park Avenue which does tip them just, only just, over the required level in Buffalo to fulfil their end of the bargain, as it were, and keep the $950 million of subsidies which they were given to build and equip the Buffalo facility. With Tesla's solar energy business now stagnating at levels less than half of what they were 5 years ago, the company's been shifting other types of work into Buffalo you don't really hear about. You hear a lot about energy in terms of storage, but the solar stuff, I would say they're plodding along with it. Not being generous. According to BuffaloNews.com, the facility has hired thousands of people now and hundreds of new people to work on their autonomous driving programs for EVs. Many of these positions, though, are for data annotation. They require simply a high school diploma, and they're not what you would call high-quality, high-paying jobs. So if you work out how many people are there and the typical wage that Tesla are paying, those state subsidies that Buffalo gave them to attract Tesla to the area, work out at $620,000. $1,000 of taxpayers' money per full-time job. And it's not a Tesla thing. All big companies want a bit of cash, bit of handouts. But heck, incredible, isn't it? Right, let's talk about the Audi RSQ e-tron. Taking to the Dakar Rally. Stupid name. Audi RSQ e-tron will contest the Dakar Rally from 2 days' time. It starts on January 1st, goes on for 2 weeks till the 14th. Of course, Audi, famous for Quattro, for the e-tron, and future technologies in motorsport, marks the beginning of a new era, they say, in cross-country rallying. According to Automobile Sport, a total of 80 people from Audi and Q Motorsport, like the rally drivers and those responsible for the technology and logistics, have been working on this. They've been in Saudi Arabia for the last 2 weeks, getting the program ready. 12 stages and daily distances of more than 800 kilometers in some cases. And this is a range extender, I believe. So battery powered for all the torque you need, but they've had to put an engine in because otherwise it'd be so heavy with all the batteries that you need. So yes, still powered, unfortunately, by burning stuff, but still a very interesting experiment nonetheless. Next, we'll talk about BMW. Germany's BMW plans to make 6,000 new jobs next year alone to prepare for the growing demand in electric vehicles, their chief executive told a daily publication. BMW on a very good path throughout their transformation, and they have their plants prepared for e-mobility, they say. Oliver Zipse was quoted as saying in an interview published yesterday. He said, and I quote, "That is why we will increase our workforce by up to 5% next year," end quote. And, you know, EVs are simple beasts compared to putting a combustion engine together. And, of course, unions are rightfully concerned over jobs, but great news that BMW creating 6,000 new jobs. If you want to work there, I don't know, keep an eye on your LinkedIn page or their LinkedIn page. You never know, might not only be in Germany or maybe a few positions around the world. Be very interesting to go and work for them. Right, a couple more stories to get to. We'll start in China, and we'll start with Beijing. The Beijing municipality is raising the quota of EVs on the license plate allocation for 2022. I found out yesterday they're allocating 100,000 new car plates for the year, and the quota for EVs gets increased from 60 to 70,000. Now, what is the quota all about? Well, it's because of pollution and the need to limit how many vehicles are on the roads. The quota for combustion cars gets reduced from 40 to 30,000 next year. It's a license plate lottery system for fuel cars, and it's turning many drivers towards electric vehicles. And they receive government subsidies, and there's no ban on when you can drive your cars. If you drive a combustion car, such is the pollution in places like Beijing. Is it the first? No, I think it's the last. I think it's the last digit of your number plate, your license plate, means the days that you can and can't drive. Anyone can correct me on that. I may be wrong. But with EVs, no such restrictions. And so that's a great bit of news. But also interesting, you know, I was talking about the five-year plan recently with China. And although we try and navigate the political issues as much as we can on this podcast, I don't really want to go down that route, because, you know, when China says they'll do something, they tend to do it, Not everyone likes the way they get the job done, though. But China will indeed cut their subsidies on electric vehicles by 30% in 2022. The ministry saying on its website today that the subsidies for electric vehicles in China next year will terminate at the end of the year and not be continued. The ministry saying in April 2020 that the subsidies would indeed be cut by 10%, 20% and 30% per year up until 2023. They are sticking with that. The world's biggest auto market has a big target for new energy vehicles, NEVs they call them, including plug-in hybrids and a bit of hydrogen in there as well. But they want it to be a fifth of all car sales, of light passenger sales by 2025. And they'll get there and phase out subsidies. It's a lesson, really, in what they needed to do, again, to get the job done. Right, final story, PlugShare, which I don't use as much as I used to. I tend to use ZapMap more. I must open up the PlugShare app and see how it's got better over time. I'm sure these things do. PlugShare, the world's largest EV community, is how they build themselves, had more than 1 million app downloads this year alone. The PlugShare platform actually belongs to Recargo, a company founded in 2009 and is now wholly owned by EVgo. As of earlier this month, 3.6 million unique Apple App Store and Google Play accounts worldwide have downloaded the PlugShare app for their devices. Nick Wilde is the president and CEO, saying the recent influx of reviews on the PlugShare platform is a testament to the growing demand for EVs and the infrastructure. New EV drivers are going electric. The PlugShare community continues to be the best place for accurate EV charging information, and we're excited to continue supporting drivers and infrastructure providers around the world. Brilliant stuff. Well, that's your podcast for today. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com is back in 2022. Email me a suggestion for a possible question and I might pick yours. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to all of our premium partners and all of our Patreon supporters. Phil Roberts, though, Electric Future, doing the business there in 2021 and going to have an amazing year next year, I'm sure, as more people want solar on their roofs. Brad Crosby, thank you, sir. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.